Hear ye, hear ye. Hear ye, hear ye. That's what the town crier used to say when he came before the town with a message from the king. Hear ye, hear ye. And everybody would gather around, and if it was a message from the king, it was mighty important, wasn't it? And people would give ear, and the town crier would give his message. Well, the declaration of God's word is a word from the king. It's the words of the king. And it's far more important than a personal message from Bill Clinton. Far more important. And those whom he sends to declare these words from the king, he says to them, cry aloud, spare not, say, hear ye, hear ye. That's exactly what it says in verse 1, doesn't it? Hear ye. Hear ye. You know, that is our biggest problem. We've all got the same spiritual affliction, bad hearing. I've got bad physical hearing, but we've all got the same physical or spiritual affliction by nature, bad spiritual hearing. How much does the Word of God talk about the hearing? How often does Christ talk about the hearing? How often? Go through sometimes and look at it. And see how many times our Lord Himself says, having ears, ye hear not. And through the revelation, He says, ye that hath ears. How many times does He say that? 7 times? Ye that hath ears, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit said. Hear ye, hear ye. Have I got everybody's attention? Every eye is looking. Hear ye, hear ye. Hear what? Verse 1, hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Hear and attend. Hear and attend. It's one thing to hear, it's another thing to attend. Another thing to do what you hear. Scriptures talks about that. The fool is he that heareth only, is not doer. The word has no place in him. But the wise are they that hear and do the words. That do the word. Hear ye children, he said. Hear ye children. The instruction of a father. Our Lord said, except we be converted and become as little children, we'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. Children, we've got to hear the word of God like little children. Every time. There's some in here who've heard the things I'm going to say and these very words and probably read this very chapter many times over. But the Scripture says we're not going to hear, we're not going to understand unless we hear it every time as little children. The apostles had walked with the Lord for about 3 years, and He said to them, except ye be converted and become as little children. They had reached a point where they thought they knew something. And He said, except you become as little children, you're not going to get anything. This word's not going to mean anything to us except we receive it as little children. Little children receive young children. If you sit them down and start telling them something of great interest, importance, start telling them, they'll generally hang on every word. They listen attentively, don't they? They'll attend to what you say. They'll listen carefully to you. If you know something and tell them something, they'll listen to you till they hit about 13. But before then, as little children, they'll listen to you, won't they? Well, the Scripture says that's the way we're going to have to listen to the Word of God. Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father. This is not this preacher talking. This is not Solomon talking. This is the God of heaven, the Heavenly Father, talking here. This reason is so wide. This reason is so deep. This reason is so profound. Everything is said here at Proverbs 8 that we read. How profound. How glorious. How complex, yet how clear it speaks of Christ. Only God could write this book. And God is speaking here. He says, "Hear ye children. If you are His child, you will hear." He said, "My sheep will hear my voice." He said in John 6:45, "They shall all be taught of God." And he's quoting from Isaiah 54 when he says, "All thy children shall be taught of thee. And great shall be their peace." Where does peace come? By hearing the word. They'll get peace when they hear this word. "Hear ye, hear ye." I'm going to say that about every 5 minutes in this message, so as to make sure somebody's listening. This is not my sermon this morning. This is not Solomon. This is the word of the living God. If He's your Father, hear, child. Hear ye, child. Verse 2, "I give you good doctrine." Nancy, I got some good doctrine for you. A lot of fellas today disdain that very word, don't they? Don't preach doctrine. Listen to me. I got some good doctrine for you this morning. Good doctrine. I like good doctrine. Don't you? Huh? I like good doctrine. I just like to hear, like to preach it. Like to read about it. Good doctrine. And the context here, good, is good for you. But it's able to make you wise unto salvation. That's what this doctrine will do. Doctrine is nothing more than teaching. That's what the word means, teaching. I give you some good teaching. It's able to make you wise unto salvation. Verse 2, "Forsake it not." Listen. Paul said in Hebrews, don't let it slip. Don't let it slip. Listen. Verse 3, "Now I was my father's son." I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. Tender and only beloved, my father's son. And verse 4, he taught me also, and he said unto me, he said, "Let your heart, son, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live." Now, this is what my father taught me. This is what my father, my earthly father, taught me by God's grace. He did. He taught me these very things in the ways of my God. But more specifically, this is what the Heavenly Father teaches all His children. He teaches all His children good doctrine. Good doctrine. And 2 John verse 9 says this. Listen. What is this good doctrine that God the Father teaches all His children? They shall all be taught. What is this good doctrine? 2 John 9 says this. "He that transgresseth," or sins, that's everybody. Well, "but he that transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ is not a heathen." Here's good doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. Good news. Another word for good news, good doctrine. The doctrine of Christ. All concerning Christ. That's what the Heavenly Father teaches all His children. That's the shepherd's voice, is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what all the sheep hear and receive and believe and are saved through here. Good doctrine. And it's not just a man getting up preaching doctrine. It's a man preaching Christ. It's not just preaching a sermonette, a good sermon, a good thing. It's preaching Christ. And this is who and what the sheep must hear to be saved. I give you good doctrine. This is what my Heavenly Father taught me. It's what He teaches all His children. He teaches them Christ. That's what Christ said there in that very verse I was quoting, John 6. He said, they shall all be taught of God. And every man that hath heard and learned of the Father cometh unto Christ. This is exactly what God teaches everybody He saves, who Jesus Christ is. Read on. Verse 5. So get wisdom. Get wise. Wise up, would you? He said. Wise up. Be wise. Oh, that they were wise. Be wise. But more importantly here, who's this talking about? Get wisdom. I gave it away a while ago in Proverbs 8. Who is wisdom? Christ. That's so clear. Was that clear to you as we were reading Proverbs 8? Oh, if it was, blessed are your eyes. Blessed are you, John Bar Sheasley. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you. And neither did John Sheasley the first. But your Heavenly Father, your Father which is in heaven, revealed you as you read Proverbs 8, you saw Christ just jumped out at you. Right? And many people out there having eyes, they don't see. They could read that and see it as just some kind of philosophy of religion, of wisdom. Having ears, they don't hear. They don't hear the shepherd's voice. You read it, you saw Christ in it, didn't you? Huh? Blessed are you. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but your Father which is in heaven revealed Christ to you. Get Christ. That's what He's saying here. Get Christ. Get Christ, who is wisdom personified, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Get Him. Whom to know? Wisdom. Whom to know is to have eternal life. Get Him. Get Christ. He said, get Christ. How do you get Christ? Huh? Look at verse 4 again. See if you notice something here. He says, He taught me also and said unto me, let thine heart retain my words. Verse 5. Get wisdom, get understanding, forget it not, neither decline from the words of my mouth. How do you get Christ? How does one receive Christ? Get Christ. It's the Word. What I'm doing right now. God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Preaching anything? No, preaching the Word. Preaching Christ. Preaching Christ from the Word. Christ is the Word, and the Word is Christ. And Peter said, this is the Word which by the Gospel which preached unto you. This is the Word. And this is how we get acquainted with Christ. Do you want to know Christ? How do you know Him? It's not going out and communing with the trees and the stars. To the Word. This is how we know Christ. This is how we become acquainted with Christ. Oh, that I might know Him. How do you know Him? Through the Word. The preaching of the Word. Get to know Him. Through the Word. That's what He's saying here. Get Christ. Get to know Christ through the Word. Faith. Getting Christ, or laying hold on Christ. Getting Christ, laying hold on Christ, is just another word for faith, isn't it? Lay hold on Him by faith. How do you lay hold by faith? Well, how does faith come? By hearing. And hearing by the Word. It's also joined together, understand? It's also interconnected. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Look at verse 5. Don't decline from the words of my mouth. What is it to decline from the words of His mouth? It's not to attend it. It's not to be about it. It's not to be where it is. It's like somebody says, I got something to hear. What do you, and you say, I decline. That's what it means to decline. From the Word of God. If you're hungry, everybody that's hungry now, I'm already hungry. You hear my stomach growling? I hope you don't. That's the bad thing about this microphone right here, you know? I bet people on tape say, "What was that?" But I'm hungry. You know where I'm going to be right after the service? Right down there eating. Well, I tell you, if somebody's spiritually hungry, they won't decline from this table till they get filled up. And even then, it's so good, they got to come back for seconds. Some of you thirds. And dessert. That's what it means to decline. Back over in chapter 8, did you notice that? Verse 34, look over there. We've got to be under the sound of the Word, people. We've got to have our children under the sound of the Word. Nobody is saved apart from the preaching of the gospel. We must be under the sound of the Word. Nobody grows apart from the preaching of the gospel. Nobody has faith apart from the hearing the preaching of the gospel. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And this is the Word which by the gospel, Peter said, is preached unto you. Proverbs 8:34, he says, "Blessed is a man that heareth me." You can't hear him unless you're in his presence, can you? "Watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door." Where are his gates and where are his doors? It's the church. It's the church. Watching daily, waiting. "Don't decline from the words of my mouth," he said. The words of Christ. When gospel is preached, Christ is speaking. Now, why does he start with us? You think about that? I did. John, I read down through here, I think, why is he saying to me, "Get wisdom, don't forsake her not"? Why does it start with us? Well, it is our responsibility to hear, to believe. It is true. Listen, it is true. Nobody preaches this more than I do. It is true that none will hear and none will believe and none will come to Christ unless God calls them, unless God chooses, unless God elects, unless God brings them in. But that's His business. That's His business, right? What's my business? My business is to hear and to attend and to seek. He said, "Seeking me, you shall find me when you search." Right now we know nobody's going to search, nobody's going to seek, nobody's going to call except T. Doug. But that's his business, Henry, isn't it? That's God's business. What's your business? To seek. "You shall find when you search with all your heart." Your heart. "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now we know, Charles, we know that nobody's going to call unless he first calls me. We know that, no. That gives God all glory when we say that. But that's his business. What's your business, Charles? Call. Call on him. Call on him. And believe. Believe. That's our business, isn't it? Huh? Believe on the Lord. Well, I can't believe unless the Lord gives. Believe. Come to Christ, he said. Come unto me. Well, I can't come. You better. You better. Come. Somebody struggling with that? Well, I'll just come when God is sovereignly willing to bring me to Christ. That's true, but you better get there. You just better get there. Now. How? Don't ask me, just do it. I'm not writing a book on how to. This doesn't either. It just says come, doesn't it? Believe. Verse 6, he says, "Forsake her not, forsake Christ not, forsake him not, he shall preserve thee." I'm substituting Christ for, he is the substitute. For wisdom, and every mention of wisdom that's in the
feminine tense here. Forsake him not, he shall preserve thee. Forsake him not. Now listen, people. I don't want to give anybody the impression that, and surely no one does, who has heard preaching from this pulpit more than twice. I'm not giving anybody the impression that this thing has anything to do with us. All right? Me forsaking him and he'll preserve me. If I don't forsake him, he won't. He'll preserve me. Huh? Now my salvation and your salvation and all salvation depends upon Jesus Christ preserving us and not forsaking us. That's what he said in Hebrews 13. He says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That's what my salvation depends upon. There have been times when I, like Peter, and there will be other times when I, like Peter, forsake him. And my salvation depends upon his promise. He said, I'll never leave thee. Don't forsake thee. Hear ye, hear ye. Isn't that good? That good doctrine? That good doctrine? Charles is smiling. Hear ye, hear ye. He said, I'll never leave you, nor forsake you. That's where your salvation depends. But he says right here, he says, don't forsake him, and he'll preserve you. Well, you know, I don't want to forsake him either. I don't like it when I forsake him. There's a verse, I wrote it down. Jonah 2, verse 8, he says, he that observeth lying vanities forsaketh his own mercy. I do that all the time. What's lying vanities? Anything. Vanity of vanities, the scripture says. All is vanity. It's all a lie. It's all a lie. Well, here's a good thing. Here's enjoyment. I'm going to get some peace, some contentment out of this. Poof! Soap bubble. Like a child, you know. Don't cry. It's lying vanity. Don't observe that. Oh, the Word endureth forever. Christ is eternal life. Don't forsake Him. He'll preserve thee. In times where everything else is gone, he shall preserve thee. In holding, here's the sin. In holding on to Christ. I like old Brother Maurice, sweet old, well, if he doesn't hear that on tape, sweet young fella that Maurice is. He always says, hug up to Christ. You know, have you heard him say that? Just hug up to him. And that southern, southwestern Kentucky, hug up, hug up. Well, if you hug up to Christ, you'll find that He's hugging up to you. He's holding on to you. You'll find that all along. You sure will. He shall preserve thee. Verse 7, love Him and He'll keep thee. Love him, he'll keep thee. That's what Proverbs 8 said. And he said, I love all them that love me. 1 Corinthians 16, I believe it is. Verse 22, I think it is. Paul says, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to go to hell. Let him be accursed. Do you love him? Peter, do you love me? Oh, Lord, I don't know. I'm not sure. Yeah, Lord. But you forsook me. I know that. You know I love you. Love him. Do you love him? Huh? If you do, it's because he first loved you. But you do love him, don't you? Why does he use the feminine tense here throughout all this? You ask yourself that question? She. Is she for wisdom? Well, I believe it's because a she
is like a mother, or the feminine tense is mother, is one that gives birth. You see, a mother is one that gives birth. And by Christ, Christ is the one. By His Word, we are born again. And all things, when we're born again, we're made new creatures in Christ, or from Christ, from His side, or from His wound, or womb, all things become new. Wisdom. Enlightenment. All right, so in that sense, that's the reason it's used feminine tense. Love Him, He shall keep thee. And I can't help but think of 1 Thessalonians 2, where He said, some do not receive the love of the truth. The love of the truth. Well, I do. Do you? I do. The love, I love the truth. The truth, I tell you, has set me free. It set me from every wind of doctrine that comes and goes, that I'm not tossed to and fro. Set me free from all these false prophets and preachers that come and go. The truth has set me free. The truth has kept me, is keeping me. What is the truth? Pilate asked that, didn't he? What is truth? Christ said it in John 14:6. I am the truth. I am the truth. He keeps me. Christ is the truth. Verse 7. Wisdom, or Christ, is the principal one. He's the principal. I know back in school you had a principal, didn't you? Things are so messed up now. You know, they got in my daughter's school, there are a couple or three principals. There are. You got one principal here in this school, one principal of this school, and you got a principal of the principals. You know, if they told a kid, go see the principal, he said, well, where do I go? There used to be one principal in the school I went to. Man, I'm glad my daughter didn't have him. Maybe I don't. Maybe I'm not. But they still did that back then. Got my idea. He was the principal. Christ is the principal. He's the head. In other words, he was the boss. The principal. Principal one is the boss. He's the head. He's the principal one. Everybody answers to Him. He makes all the rules. He gives out the judgment. He is the principal. Christ is the principal one. He is the preeminent one. Christ is His Lord. That's what He is. He is the principal one. Christ is all. In Him are all principalities and power. In Him. Christ is all. All fullness, all wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. All salvation, all acceptance, He's the principal one. Need something? See Him. Go to the principal. Go to Him. Principal. He's the one. Therefore, He says, get Christ. Verse 7, get Him. Get Him. You got law. With all thy getting, He said. Therefore, get Christ. With all thy get an understanding of Him. With all thy heart. Excuse me. With all thy getting. With all thy getting. With all thy heart. Not a double-minded. Scripture says a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Now, I believe everybody in here either knows they want Christ or they don't. God sure does. Scripture says, God is not mocked. He knows. Double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their way. One day they're real interested in the gospel, the next day they're not. The Scripture says here, get Him with all thy getting. My son, give me your heart. With the heart are the issues of life. In the heart, give me thy heart. How much of it?
All of it.
With the whole heart. All thy getting, get Christ. Verse 8, exalt Him, exalt Christ, and He shall promote you. Isn't that great? Exalt Christ, and He shall promote thee. Hear ye, hear ye. Worship Christ and He'll promote you. Exalt Christ, praise Him, God will give unto you eternal life. The greatest, but turn over to John 12, John chapter 12, and see what he says himself about it. John 12, this is the greatest promotion of all, people. You waiting for promotion down at the plant? It'll only be a quarter on the hour. How would you like to have unsearchable riches? John 12, from death to life, would you like to go from rags to riches? Huh? From a sinner to a son of God himself? John 12, look at verse 26. Our Lord himself says, any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, where is he? All right, at the right hand of the majesty on high. Where's that preacher? I don't know. I hadn't heard. Ear heard, neither have entered into it. Got that wrong, didn't I? Ear hath not heard, I hath not seen, neither have entered into the heart of man the things God has prepared for him. For them that love him. That's where he is. And there shall my servant be also. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. With eternal life and eternal blessings, unsearchable. Interesting. Hear you. Anybody? Hear you. Exalt Him, worship Christ, He'll promote you. Hear you. I'm just preaching Christ. Christ now. Right now, right while I'm talking to you, don't worry about a thing else. There ain't nothing on the top side of this earth worth worrying about or of any significance. Virgie Jones sat right there one Sunday in good health. About 36 hours later, she was dead. Oh, that they were wise. Get wisdom. Wise up. You listen to what I'm saying, and I ain't preaching a sermon. I'm preaching your life. This is a matter of life and death. And it goes right here. Verse 9 says, He'll give you an ornament of grace. He's the one that has it. He's the only one that has this grace to give. You want an ornament of grace? I know you ladies, I don't know what you want out of your husbands. You want a diamond ring? You want a necklace? Married? You want Steve to buy you? What do you want him to buy you? You want him, don't you? What do you want from God? What do you want from Christ? What do you want out of life? What do you want? Pretty much ask God and He'll give it to you. That's right. You know, God gives people pretty much what they want. Yes, He does. The world says we want the world, and they get the world. The believer says, I got to have Christ. I want Christ. I want to know Him. Be found in Him. Lord, you know I pursue these other things, but you know I love you and you know what I want. I want you. I want you. Well, He'll give it. An ornament of grace.
Hey, look at it. Verse 9, crown of glory shall he deliver to you. Deliver it, hand deliver it, crown of glory. What's that mean? That means salvation itself. And when we die, trusting Christ, believing Christ, that he's going to meet us personally. Give us that helmet of salvation, that crown of glory. Enter in, my beloved. Enter in, and that which I propose for you to the foundation of the world. Enter in. Hear ye. Hear, verse 10. Hear, O my son, my daughter. Hear, Jennifer, Andrew, children, young people, Catherine. Hear, O my son, my daughter. Hear. Did you hear all that? Did you hear anything I said this morning? Did you hear anything he said this morning? Preaching Christ. Oh, my son, receive these things. Would you receive these things? He that receiveth, to him gives he the right and the power, the privilege to become the sons of God, which were born, not of blood, not of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. But as many as receive. Hear and receive my saying, the years of thy life shall be many. I've taught you, verse 11, I've taught thee in the way of wisdom this morning and telling you about Christ. Christ, I've led you in right paths, right path. I'm trying to tell you about the path of righteousness which we must have, which Christ alone can lead us into. Got to have it. Got to be righteous to be with God. Brother Fred Wood called this morning and said, what are you preaching on, Fred? He said, righteousness. I said, that's good. He speaks about that more than 500 times in the Bible. And we've talked for about 15 minutes about righteousness. Got to have it. Right paths. Righteousness. Paths of righteousness. Got to be in it. Got to be in this way. John, we've got to be in this path of righteousness. Is that right living? It's right believing. It's Christ. He is our righteousness. He is our righteousness. And I've taught you in the way of Christ. Christ is the way. Led thee in right path. I'm pointing you to Christ. All you need to know to make you wise unto salvation. I'm not telling you what to do this morning. One of our young ladies said, a friend of hers was getting tired of going to church where he was going to church. because he said all they do is tell him what to do down there. All a preacher does is get up and say, yeah, you ought to do this, you ought to do that. Or tell them, you ought not do this, you ought not do that. You can't do that and be Christian. And I'm not sitting up here telling you what to do except trust Christ now. Is that a hard thing? Believe Christ. I'm telling you how to walk to be righteous. I'm pointing you to Christ, who is the way of righteousness. I'm telling you, just believe Him. Just
hold up
to Him. The way of acceptance with God, the way of remission from sins by His blood, don't have to come to Christ. I'm saying, like Scott would say, come to Christ right now. Don't move a muscle, no. Don't come down here. We don't have a morning bench. We don't have an altar down here. But we do have an altar, which they that minister about the sanctuary have no part in. We have an altar. It's a spiritual one. It's Jesus Christ. You come to the altar. You come to the mourner's bench. And that's Christ. But you don't have to move a muscle to come to Christ. Right now in your heart. It sounds like some invitation. It is. Surprise! I'm giving the invitation. But not like they say. Don't come to me. Don't come to me. I'm telling you, come to Christ. He's the one that said that. Come. Come. Get him. Get him.
Tell you, if there's anything in this life that we want, if there's anything in this life that I want, what do I do? What do you do? Sam, if there's something you want, what do you do? You go get it, don't you, buddy? You don't even ask the little wife. You go get it. Right? Get Christ.
I want him. I don't know about you. I'm going to have him. I'm going to, if somebody today, if somebody wants him, that they can have him. They got him. And the problem is, they want him.
I can't blame God. Verse 12. When you go, if you do, I taught you in the way of wisdom, I led you in right paths, he says. When you go, if you go to Christ, if you come to Christ, when you go, your steps won't be straightened. Straightened means like in a hard place, difficult walking. No, 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 no. Oh, his ways are easy. His yoke is easy. I was watching, went up to a horse show up in Lexington, and big old Percheron, about 18 hands high, about one ton, 2,000 pounds. Name was Pete. Pete. And old Pete, they were trying to put that yoke on Pete, and he was rearing up. Boy, the crowd was rearing back. Ton of horse flesh now. You, woo! Somebody hollered out, oh, for Pete's sake! He's big. They're just trying to put the yoke on him. He had it on before. Finally, they got that yoke on him, and he settled right down. But that yoke wasn't hard. Old Pete, it was running through his mouth. Well, I've had that on before. That's not hard. It's padded. It's not. It's all right. I'll wear it. Get in line with the rest of these people. There's nothing hard about that. Let's pull this wagon. Christ says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. Well, I don't want to be that. It's easy. It's the easy way. You know, the Scripture says the way of the transgressor is hard. Andrew, if you seek and come to know Christ now, if you don't, if you seek the world and go the way of the world, it's a hard road, buddy. It's a hard road. It's a hard road to hoe. Trying to keep up with all your cronies and all your peers, it's hard. The way of this world, the way of it's hard, isn't it? You have been that way. It's a hard way. It'll harden you, too. You come to Christ now. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Full days come now. And when you run, and Paul said in Romans 12, let us run the race set before. When you run, you won't stumble. Run to Christ, straight to Christ as fast as you can. You won't stumble. Huh? You won't stumble. You won't fall. That's what the word means. You won't fall. How? He said that, looking unto him. Looking unto him. Keep your eyes on him. You won't fall. Down in verse 25 and 6, it says, look at it. 25, he said, let your eyes look right on. Look right on. Hear ye. Hey, sir. Joseph, look right on. Don't look down. Don't look in. Don't look at your steps. I'm not making too much progress. Look on. Christ has come. But I'm, don't look down. Look out. Look on. Right on. Let all thy way. Look, your eyelids look straight before thee. Straight before thee. Isn't that wonderful? Hear ye. Verse 26, ponder the path of your feet, where you're headed. Let your ways be established. Find out which direction you want to go. Huh? Decide on it. Verse 27, then don't turn to the right or the left. Look right on and get to Christ. Oh, somebody hear me this morning. Hear me. Hear him. Verse 13, I'll quit. Take fast hold of instruction. Fast hold. You ever taking fast hold of something? Huh? That means hold on hard. Hannah, when she was a little girl, now she's getting so old it's hard to get her to hug me at all. That's breaking my heart. You know, there's nothing breaking my heart more than that. getting independent, you know. Ain't got time to hug Daddy. Used to, though, when I'd pick her up in my arms, she'd squeeze the life out of me, and her breath is not going out of me. But I didn't mind. Didn't mind. Loved every minute of it. Choking me. Loved it. She'd taken fast hold. Fast hold. You know, you can also say take hold fast today. It's a day of salvation. Today. Let him not go. Keep him. He's your life. He's your life. And as I said in the beginning, this is Christ is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. The gospel is Christ. Lay hold on Christ and the gospel. Don't forsake this gospel. Don't let it go. Keep it. Christ said, "He that keepeth my words, him it is that loveth me, and I will love him, and my Father will come unto him. We'll make our abode with him." What's that? The gospel. No separating Christ from his gospel. Keep it. It's not everywhere to be found. Very, very hard to find. If you find it, let it not go. It's your life. Christ is life. His words are words of life, words of wisdom. I gave you good doctrine this morning. Saving not. Hear ye. Get Christ. All right, stand, and I'll give thanks for this food, and then thanks for the food downstairs as well. Everybody come on down.